Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and then we're going to be taking a look at verses 1 through 8. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God, who tests our hearts. You know, we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but ourselves as well. The word of God for the people of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That should be a pretty easy message to share, shouldn't it? It's filled with hope. It's filled with life. And it's filled with salvation. Yet this morning we're going to talk about why then is it so hard? Why is it so hard? We have this beautiful message of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. A message that will change people's lives for not just in this life, but in the life to come. That will change people's hearts so dramatically that you see that while they were once lost, now they're found. We sing songs about it. Why is it so hard when we have this beautiful message that is so powerful? This morning we continue in our sermon series called A Gospel Worth Sharing. And if you remember last week, we wrestled with the question, is anyone listening? When we try and tell people about Jesus, do people still want to know? My answer is absolutely yes. People's hearts are just as troubled today as they've been at any point in human history. People are still in need of a Savior in Jesus Christ today as much as any other time. But what we found is that sometimes there's opposition. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes even as we try and just a mere mention of the name of Jesus, people shy away from him and they don't want to hear it. But why? Why is this so hard? Why is it that when we have the message of life, people aren't flocking to it? You know, it reminds me of a friend I had in college. And I would dare say that I worked to share the gospel with him harder than any person I have ever tried to share the gospel with, at least up to that point in my life. I'm talking years. He was a professed atheist. We would talk science. We would talk philosophy. We would talk sociology. We would talk C.S. Lewis, all kinds of different authors. We would read books together. And what I discovered is that every time he would get close, every time he would entertain with the idea of the possibility that there was a God, he would shrink back. He would shy away. He would run in the other direction. And I asked him, why do you do that? And then he shared with me what it was all about. See, his struggles about believing in Christ weren't about science. They weren't about philosophy. It wasn't about intellectualism. It was the fact that he had a terrible childhood and was beaten by his father on a regular basis. And he couldn't come to grips with how God would let something like that happen. I witnessed for 2 years. He never accepted Christ. It burns my heart to this day. I don't know if he accepted Christ today. That's one of the reasons why it's hard to share the gospel sometimes. Life experiences people have. But there's lots of reasons. And in this passage, Paul shares with us some of the challenges of sharing the gospel. He said, we faced fierce opposition in Philippi. If you've read the book of Acts, you know that they were beaten in Philippi. They were arrested in Philippi because they were calling people to serve another kingdom instead of the Roman kingdom. And it wasn't received well. You see, even though the gospel is worth sharing and offers people salvation through Jesus Christ, people are still skeptical. People question us. One thing people question is our message. They question the very message of Jesus Christ. This is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, you have it in your inserts, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. People question the entire message of Christianity because every other avenue and every other religion and every other government tells them that it's through work and effort and everything else that you earn your way to salvation. And Jesus says, no, I'm the one who did all that for you. And people just struggle with it. Why? Because they still want to have control of their own lives. They still, rather than trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ and the grace that we have, they still want to say, yes, I believe that, but I know I also got to do this in order for God to love me. Whatever this is for you, whatever this is for me. And when we try and tell people, no, it's by grace that you are saved through faith. They question that message. They struggle with it. They want to know, what do I need to do? They also, people question our methods. Right? Not only is it the message that they struggle with, it's a method used to implore it, to share it. You know, Paul says in verse 2, we dared to share the gospel in the face of strong opposition, for the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. People don't always feel that way about Christians, do they? Right? Anybody ever felt like someone's tried to trick you before? They don't have to be a Christian, but they could be. Anybody ever walked onto a used car lot and felt like somebody was trying to trick them? Or walk into a store and felt like somebody was trying to trick you. Sadly, that is how people sometimes feel about Christians. They feel like, but we're doing this bait and hook method where we bait them in and then we hook them and we reel them in and then they're trapped. And so not only are they questioning our message, but they're questioning the methods we use. And sadly, if you look at the track record of different movements in Christianity over the years, there's a reason for their questioning. I've heard pastors say, if you just accept Christ, everything in your life will be great. I don't know about you, but that's not in my Bible. Right? What's in my Bible is, yes, you will be granted a peace that transcends all understanding. Yes, you will encounter Christ in a way that you never saw, and the power of sin will be broken, but you're still going to struggle. You're still going to face persecution. In fact, if you are walking faithfully with Jesus Christ, your persecution will probably increase instead of decrease. And yet we bait people with, oh, just come bring all your burdens and then everything will be fine. And then when their world is just as messed up after they accept Jesus as before, they're like, what happened? Right? Because we don't share the message of pick up your cross and follow him. Because we're afraid that if we talk like that, nobody will come. But yet, if you notice, if you read through the Gospels, Jesus, every time he got a big following, he would give his most challenging message. And then 2/3 of that following would fall away. Every time, read through them. The next time you see a big group of people following Jesus, watch them. After the miracle where he fed thousands of people, they're following him because they're hungry and they want Jesus to do it again. And Jesus said, you come to me looking for a sign. Why? Because I filled your stomachs. The only sign that's going to be given to you is the sign of Jonah, that I'll be in the ground 3 days and rise on the third. Then they leave. He says, you want to follow me, you'll obey my commandments. You want to follow me, you'll pick up your cross. You want to follow me, you'll sacrifice. I call you to a life of service. Not a life where you sit there and get all warm and fuzzy and everything's great all the time. Don't get me wrong. If you follow Christ, if you are experiencing that gospel that's worth sharing, even when you're serving, it doesn't feel like it. Because you know the blessing that you have in Jesus. And you can't help but tell people about Jesus. You can't help but want to serve him. You can't help but want to rejoice. Jesus said it like this in John 5:19, and we should take this to heart when we think about the methods we use to invite people to Christ. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. He goes on in about 5 chapters later, and he says, I say what the Father tells me to say. That is what my message is. How many of us, when we try and share the gospel, we don't pay any attention to what God tells us to say, and we just try and wing it? And then we wonder where the power is. We wonder why people aren't flocking to it, why people aren't experiencing that grace that we so free, that God so freely wants to give. So they question our methods, especially if there's anything mischievous about them. Third thing they question our motives. Right? They question our motives. And Paul speaks to this starting in verse 3. He says, for the appeal we make is not from error or impure motives. We're not here trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those who are approved by God, entrusted with the gospel. We're not trying to please people. We're trying to please God, who tests and knows our hearts and knows that they're pure. When you try and invite somebody to church, when you try and share the gospel with somebody, why do you do it? What are your motives? And by the way, when we're sharing the gospel, the goal is not to get everybody to come to Brush Hill and our church balloons so big that we have no more pews and we have to figure out how to solve that problem. And every pew's full. We're inviting people to the kingdom of God. Don't get me wrong, I want more people to come worship here. But it won't hurt my feelings if I lead somebody to Christ and they go worship elsewhere, because I'm going to see them in heaven. That brother that I told you about, he had a twin brother. That father beat him too. I didn't work on sharing the gospel with that twin brother very much at all. I wasn't as close with him. We didn't talk as much. But he's a believer today. And when I bumped into him at the store, he said, this is the man who led me to Christ. And I thought, I don't remember doing that. I don't remember doing that at all. And yet, because I lived faithfully, it developed a hunger in him to want to experience the new life that we have in Jesus. our motives. Proverbs 16:2 says it like this: all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the heart weighs the spirit. God knows your heart. God knows your motive. He knows why you do the things that you do. And when the world is skeptical about our motives, which they are today, the world is very skeptical of us. We can't pretend like that's not a reality. Paul didn't. Paul said, listen, my motives are true, and then he proved it by the life that he lived and by his willingness to share even himself with them. So what are we to do in the face of that? And by the way, there are a lot more reasons why it's hard to share the gospel. Right? We have a world system that is opposed to Jesus Christ. We could go on and on. We could spend a whole series about the ways in which the systems of the world are opposed to the message of the cross. We could go on and on with a series about how the message of the cross isn't even being preached in a lot of churches today. And how humanism has so infected the body of Christ that people believe that we don't even necessarily need the blood of the Lamb to cover over us. We could talk all about that. But the question is, what do we do about it? How do we come to grips? How do we go forth? Because we have a gospel that's worth sharing. So what do we do when people are skeptical of what we have to share? Of more importantly, not what, but who? I want to share three things that I believe will help. The first one is this: any attempt to share the gospel must be reinforced by courage. This courage comes from a heart that is on fire for Jesus, a heart that is filled with the Holy Spirit, someone who, you know, that old song that, it's not an old song, actually, it's a little short song that you snap your finger and you say, Jesus' love is a bubbling over. That song, when you're on fire for Christ, when Jesus' love is bubbling up out of you, you will have the courage to tell somebody about him. You will have the boldness to tell somebody. Where's that courage in the body of Christ today? Where's that courage on display in your life? Sometimes we're so afraid that if we try and tell someone about Jesus, that they might reject us altogether, that we would rather have their friendship than tell them about God. And the church gets that way. We need that courage. Psalm 27:1 tells us this: the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Think about the people in the Old Testament and the New. The characters that we love, I call them characters, they're people. People that we love. We think about someone like Moses, who was willing to stand up against Pharaoh. We think about someone like David, who stood up against Goliath. We think of someone like Joshua, who took over from David. Not from David, who took over from Moses. Sorry for misspeaking. He took over after Moses' leadership and took the Israelites into the promised land. And how many times, if you read that first chapter, did God say, be strong and courageous? Be strong and courageous. I'm telling you today, if you want to share the gospel, you have to be strong and you have to be courageous. You have to expect opposition. You have to be okay with the reality that some people are going to gladly receive what you have to share and others want no part of it. Now, that doesn't mean you pester them so much that they hate you. I'm not calling you to, that's more being a jerk than it is being courageous, right? But what it means is we can't be so afraid that someone might be offended that we're unwilling to tell them about Jesus Christ. I think that's one of the reasons the phenomenon that was Tim Tebow in football. Why was he so popular? If we're honest, if you're a Florida fan, Caleb's a Florida fan, right? He loves Tim Tebow because they won a national championship under him. I don't like Florida. Yet when Tim Tebow got to the NFL, I was cheering him on. Why? It wasn't because he was a great quarterback. It wasn't because he was playing for a team that was one of my favorite teams. I cheered for him because I loved hearing somebody that wasn't afraid to talk about Jesus. Amen? Right? When we see people out in society who aren't afraid to talk about Jesus, don't we start rooting for him? Clemson's coach, after he won the national title, glorified God. And he said, if God can use somebody like me to win a title like this, imagine what he can do with you. Imagine what Christ can do through you. Look, I'm not a Clemson fan, but that almost made me one. Because I love seeing somebody who is courageous for Christ. The question is, why aren't we? What's stopping us from being courageous for Jesus Christ? Secondly, any attempt to share the gospel must be accompanied by integrity. Courage isn't enough. We have to have integrity. Why? Because people don't trust the church today, especially younger people. And if we don't have integrity, first by living what we're professing, they're not going to listen to us. They're not going to hear us. Paul says it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, "For we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of man." Here he says it's God who tests our hearts. We didn't use deceitfulness. We didn't use trickery. I could have proclaimed that I'm an apostle and demanded respect, but I didn't. I had integrity before God and integrity before you. If you want to be somebody who is able to come up against the opposition, you've got to have integrity. You have to live what you say you believe. You've got to embody it, and your motivation has to be that they've got to be pure, because you want them to discover Jesus Christ for themselves. And then lastly, any attempt to share the gospel must be overflowing with love and care. Love and care. Instead, we were like young children among you, Paul says in verse 7. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were so delighted to share with you not only the gospel, but our lives as well. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to share not only the gospel, but your life as well? Are you willing to be that person whose motives cannot be questioned? That person who's not seeking their own glory, who's not doing it for something that they can get out of it, but no, you're sharing the gospel with people you love because you want to see them experience freedom in Jesus Christ. You want to see them free from the condemnation of sin and the death of sin. And you want to see them redeemed. And you want to be with them for eternity. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 says this, "If I speak in the tongues of angels or men, but I do not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." Sharing the gospel is hard. It's not hard in the ways that people often act like it is. Well, what if they ask me something I don't know? My friends, there's nothing that the Holy Spirit living inside of you doesn't know. Do you believe that? So if somebody asks you something that you don't know, do you believe that the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say? If I did not believe that, I would not stand before you this morning and preach. No way. If my preaching was solely about my limited understanding of God's word, and I study God's word, if that's all I had to go on without any prompting and leading and direction from the Holy Spirit, you would see me shaking like crazy up here. That often holds us back. But my friends, the one who calls you to share the good news goes alongside you as you share it. Now, I encourage you to study God's word. I encourage you to read about the objections that if you're going to be speaking and sharing the gospel with an atheist and God has laid that on your heart, which is huge. We can approach strangers and share the gospel, but if we're not living our lives and sharing them with them, there's not a huge success rate of one-on-one evangelism with complete strangers who we've never met that we're just trying to challenge. But if you've got people in your life and the Holy Spirit, He's been laying it on your heart a long time, it's time. It's time for you to tell them about Jesus and say they're an atheist. You should prepare. What objections might they bring up? And see what God's word has to say about those. That is a great thing to do. But ultimately, it's going to be an act of faith on your part. That's why you have to have encourage, or you have to have courage, you have to have integrity, and you have to love them enough to share Jesus Christ with them. Who are the people in your life that you love enough, that don't know Jesus, that you love them enough to tell them about Jesus? Who are you willing to be courageous for? Listen as the Holy Spirit speaks. Let us pray. Almighty God, we can come up with lots of excuses as to why we don't share the good news of Jesus Christ. But Lord, that is what they are. They are excuses. Because you have clearly commanded us to go forth and share the gospel, to teach everything that you have commanded us. You have clearly commanded us to proclaim Christ and Him crucified, to share with people the love that you have shared with us. Lord, forgive us for backing down when we're challenged. Forgive us for shying away from the calling that you have placed on our lives. And Lord, we pray that you would give us the courage, that you would instill with us the integrity, and that you would increase our love and care to love people enough to want to tell them about you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My friends, as Michael leads us in our closing hymn, I want to invite you. If God is stirring anything in your heart this morning, answer that call. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Maybe there's somebody in your life that you know needs to hear about Jesus. And you know you're the person that God has been telling them time and time again, telling you to tell them about Jesus. Answer that call. If you're not sure how, come down to this altar and pray and say, Lord, I don't know where to begin. I don't know what to say. God is faithful, and He will give you the words. If you're not sure if you got integrity when it comes to this stuff, talk with the Lord about that. If you've got someone in your life you don't know, if you feel like they're not worth your time, talk to the Lord about that hardened heart and let Him renew that steadfast love in you. Michael, as you'll lead us, everyone else, as you feel led, listen to the Holy Spirit as we worship.